all kicked off with Nolan Live, BBC One last night. Big time. If you want to watch it on the iPlayer, it's up there now. We were talking to the DUP, mainly in that programme last night, about what was in this report that we've all been talking about over recent days in terms of what the constitution of the IRA is, what the IRA is or isn't doing. But there are questions to be asked of loyalist paramilitaries, because according to this report, they are very much still here in Northern Ireland. That was the official assessment released in the report by the police and MI5 earlier this week. Winston Irvine from the PUP, which is linked to the UVF, is with us this morning. Winston, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So this assessment by the police and MI5 on loyalists is damning. It's disturbing. What's the PUP's response to it?
Well, we have said very clearly and consistently that any form of criminality is wrong, be it loyalist or Republican, emanating from either of those communities. We've also said you cannot be a loyalist and a criminal, and you cannot be a loyalist and a drug dealer. So there is no justification and there is no sucker to be got for those who are involved in this type of activity. And we've made that very clear from get-go.
Do you agree with the analysis within this report that the UVF is up to its neck in criminality?
Well, I think the report gives, in part, an analysis. It doesn't give a full picture. And I can understand people condemning the presence of paramilitaries in Northern Ireland, but, you know, I would also say that simply condemning people won't actually solve the problem.
I wasn't asking to condemn anybody. I was asking you, do you agree with the analysis? So let me just expand on that. So this report says that a large number of members, including some senior figures, are extensively involved in organised crime, including drug dealing. Do you recognise that?
I accept the report. Unlike others, I live in the real world. I'm not going to sit here and say that there is no criminal activity within unionist and loyalist communities, or Republican communities for that matter, because quite clearly there is. But you asked me, do I accept the report and its analysis? In short, I accept that there is large-scale criminality within the society of Northern Ireland.
No.
I accept.
No, hold on, Winston, that's not the question.
Well,
do you accept that a large number of members of the UVF are involved in drug dealing?
No, I don't. I accept
that's what this report says.
No, it doesn't actually.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Let me read the report to you.
No, I'll read it to you.
No,
A large number of members, including some senior figures, are extensively involved in organised crime, including drug dealing. Yes, it does.
Okay, so then let me put it in proper context by putting the sentence in beforehand. A very small number of members have taken active roles in loyalist politics with the Progressive Unionist Party.
Yes.
However, a larger number.
So yes.
Let's remember the previous sentence says a small number of people have taken active roles in loyalist politics, and then the next sentence says, however, a larger number.
Correct.
So we don't know what the small number is, so therefore you can't, jump to the conclusion that they're talking about a majority.
I didn't say a majority. A larger number. Yeah, a larger number of members.
So if there was three people or five people involve themselves in active politics and a larger number than three or five, what could that be?
But hold on a moment.
So let's not sensationalise this.
Well,
let's
the report, the report
the
also, well, you see, I'm reading from the report. The
I'm
report
so
also says that these activities, including drug dealing, all right, have a significant impact on the local community. So I doubt if it was one or two people, Winston, that could have a significant impact on the local community. And it goes beyond drug dealing, extortion, smuggling. Members of the UVF, says this reporter, are involved in conducting paramilitary-style assaults on those they accuse of antisocial behaviour.
Yes, I accept that's what the report says. I'm not here to try to rubbish the report, unlike some others. What I'm saying to you is, Let's not exaggerate and over-sensationalise these problems here, because I think we have a propensity to do that. And as far as I'm concerned, there is a shift going on within loyalism. I think that shift was evidenced in the LCC statement and the establishment of the Loyalist Communities Council. People said very clearly that there was a statement setting out a clear renunciation of violence and criminality in all its form. And anyone who is involved in that must be dealt with by the police.
You see, if I'm to take that...
What else do you want loyalism to do? What else do you want loyalists...
I want you to be straight. That's what I want you to do.
I'm being very straight.
Okay, so let me ask the next question. What on earth are your friends in the UVF doing recruiting more people now? Why on earth would they need to recruit?
Well, I don't see any mention of recruitment with regards to the analysis on the UVF.
The UVF structures remain in existence with access to weapons and some indications of recruitment. That's what it says in this
very vague term that doesn't have much substance to it.
Some indications of recruitment. I repeat the question. What are your friends in the UVF doing recruiting in Northern Ireland? Recruiting for what?
Well, to be dead straight with you, I don't know if recruiting is going on. If it is, it shouldn't be, clearly. In fact, I'll go further. These groups, be it Republican or Loyalist, shouldn't be in existence. Look, we have said this from get-go. The PUP have been actively working with Loyalists. Let's remember, it was the PUP who persuaded and convinced Loyalism to lay down its weapon and to call ceasefires in 1994.
That's correct.
The PUP who convinced and persuaded Loyalists to engage in fully democratic and peaceful means.
But they're
not. Loyalists.
But you didn't persuade them because they're not doing it. They're beating people up.
Loyalists, let me remind you this. It was Loyalists who supported the Good Friday Agreement, the peace accord, and give that and support at the time to the Ulster Unionist Party in order to bring peace to
and
this
country. And it's the UVF.
Now, where is the recognition and acknowledgement, Stephen, of that? Because what you try to do is you try to give a distorted picture and you try to give one very small part of the overall narrative.
I'm reading,
you're doing the same this morning.
I'm reading from an assessment which was commissioned by the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. You said at the beginning of this interview that you were not disputing the conclusions of this report, which also tells us that the UVF are extensively involved, and by the way, including senior figures within the UVF. Let's not forget that part. Involved in extortion. So what's extortion? That's when some of your friends in the UVF walk up to local businesses in your own community and threaten to burn them out and threaten to shoot them if they don't hand over their own hard-earned money to these gangsters. And it's still what loyalist paramilitaries are doing.
And look, you know, the PUP have been very vocal on this issue, on this programme, on many occasions. I don't know what more we can do or say in order to make our position very clear on that. But look, let's also remember, Stephen, you know, the issue of crime and criminality in Northern Ireland isn't the preserve of loyalism. I mean, I could take you down to Lagan, say, courthouse.
This is organised crime.
Most days of the week.
This is organised crime.
And you'll see who the real criminals are in this society. You'll see who the people who are bringing misery the local people within this community. And I can tell you this, the overwhelming majority of them are not loyalists. The overwhelming majority of them are not former combatants and not former ex-prisoners.
So you don't
in
think...
In fact, in recent times, Stephen, some of your colleagues in the media have been in the court.
Well, hold on a minute.
Brought before the judges
hold on a minute.
Crime and for criminality.
Oh, and that's for a court process to go through.
If,
it's process.
If we're going to look at this...
Don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous.
Don't you be ridiculous.
We're not getting into other areas of crime when we are talking.
It doesn't fit your narrative.
It doesn't fit what we're talking about today, which is paramilitary.
Crime and criminality.
No, we're talking about paramilitary activity in Northern Ireland.
That's actually very revealing, Stephen, that comment from you there.
Fine.
Actually very revealing.
Find it revealing, no problem. If we're ever talking about how journalists are involved in crime, then we will do an item on it.
Well,
today we are talking, Winston, about paramilitary groups.
You contact me to talk about it, Stephen.
Not a problem.
I'd love to.
So today we're talking about paramilitary groups in Northern Ireland, right? Now, are you telling me that you don't think UVF should be existing anymore?
Of course.
Right. So any of these people...
Or any of the other groups, for that matter.
Okay. So any of these people within the UVF who are conducting paramilitary-style assaults, drug dealing, extortion, are they traitors to the United Kingdom?
Of course they're not traitors to the United Kingdom. What on earth are you talking about?
Because I'm obviously drawing a parallel between what I've asked you and how Martin McGuinness stood up very, very tall and said that the people who were engaged in crime, the dissidents who were engaged in crime, were traitors to Ireland. In that context, are you prepared to stand up this morning and say something quite bold about an organisation that you used to support?
Let's be honest here. What has Martin McGuinness's comments actually done? What impact has it had?
He said a lot more than you're prepared to say this morning.
Let me tell you, zilch, none. There are countless Republican dissident groups out there causing terror on the streets of Northern Ireland on a day and daily basis. Are there loyalist dissident groups out there procuring weapons, mounting attacks against the security forces and against civilians in this country? No, there aren't. So, you know, let's not compare, you know, what Martin McGuinness says and what loyalism has been able to achieve. There is no comparison. Now, at the same time, I recognise that we can't simply wish away people who are involved in paramilitary groups. We can't simply condemn them either. What we need to do
is,
first of all, recognise that there's a problem in the first place.
Why do
And until particularly Sinn Féin recognise that there is an issue with Republican paramilitarism, with the existence of the IRA and its Army Council and all its local structures and arrangements, the sooner we can get to a place where we can begin to resolve this issue.
Why do you think the UVF would still have access to weapons?
Well, Stephen, my guess is that there are weapons within Northern Ireland that lots of people can have access to. I think that's historically a problem, not just for Northern Ireland. I think you can go to most parts of the United Kingdom, most parts of Europe, and you will be able to find somebody somewhere who will be able to access weapons of some kind. Now, does that mean that that's a risk to national security? Well, no, not necessarily.
It's a risk to someone they're pulling up a dark entry and shooting in the knees.
Exactly, which, you know, shouldn't be happening. But let me, you know, because you've talked about the report for quite a bit. So let me say this as well. There's no mention. Do you accept, let me ask first of all, do you accept the report and its findings?
It's not for me to accept anything. So, for me to present the data within this report and ask for analysis from people like you.
So you have no view on this? As a member of this community,
I have no view. I am not prepared to express a personal view while interviewing you.
Let me make the point. Okay. So there's no mention whatsoever in this highly scrutinised report of the UVF controlling the PUP. There is no mention or analysis or evidence whatsoever in this report that the UVF are in any way involved in trying to manipulate or exploit the Progressive Unionist Party. So this parallel that people like you obsess about, that the PUP and the UVF are inextricably linked and that there's some sort of mirror image here between the UVF and PUP and Sinn Féin and IRA, actually doesn't exist
in
reality.
You're not going to start telling me that UVF and PUP don't have links. You're not going to tell me that, are you?
Did I say that?
Right, dead on.
Did I say that?
Okay.
No, what I said was there is no evidence, no analysis, no information, no reference in this report that the UVF control, manipulate or exploit the Progressive Unionist Party. Now, can't we say the same for Sinn Féin? No, we can't, because clearly there is an analysis and a judgment in this report that the IRA and its Army Council are directing and overseeing and manipulating a partner in government.
Well, actually,
and
actually, the report is more nuanced than that, because what the report says in terms of what you've just said is that members of the IRA think that the Army Council is controlling
Sinn
Féin. And as I said on television last night, a glaring omission from this report, a massive, massive, big, glaring omission is that they told us what members of the IRA think in terms of the Army Council's role within Sinn Féin, but they did not tell us what the authors of this report thought.
What does MI5 think? What do the security services think?
What does Teresa Villers think, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland? What is her analysis of the Army Council's role, if any, with Sinn Féin? And I said it last night on TV, and I'll say it again. I think it would be of a very significant public interest for the Secretary of State to tell the public in Northern Ireland what the British Security Services assessment is of the Army Council's role in Sinn Féin. And if that is that there is absolutely no role, the public should hear it.
Well, let me say, I disagree. I actually do think they've made it clear, because in the next sentence they say, we judge this strategy as a reference to the previous sentence as a wholly political focus. So they actually do agree with the statement that they believe that IRA members also think that the Provisional Army Council oversees. So I actually do think, otherwise why would they put that sentence in the report? Why would they say that we judge this strategy as a wholly political focus? It's why would they even reference that?
To be fair to you, that's a fair point. I think it's open to interpretation, but it's certainly one way that you could reveal, that you could interpret this report. You know, we need clarity, don't we? We need clarity from the Chief Constable, from MI5, as to what they see the Army Council's role is within Sinn Féin, because Sinn Féin are very much saying that the IRA does not exist. They're saying they're a political party with a mandate and they make decisions as a political party. But let's see what the British Intelligence Services assessment is. And I do think that that is a major question as we sit here this morning.
Stephen, can I
this report also says, Winston, just to be fair to you, this report says the leadership has sought to limit involvement in street disorder or violent protest. However, individual members of the UVF have continued to engage in such activity and in some cases to orchestrate it. So some members orchestrating rioting. You must know who these people are.
Well, the police and MI5 are obviously the source for this information, for this evidence, if you want to call it that, or analysis, rather, is probably a more appropriate word. If they have that information, then why aren't they arresting people? If they have that as an assessment, why aren't they going after these people and doing something about it?
You would know the UVF quite well, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know anybody who is saying to me, oh, I'm a member of the UVF. That's not my experience, okay? I know people who are very political. I know people who have a real sense of loyalism.
You would know senior figures within the UVF, wouldn't you?
Well, I would know people who are alleged, which, you know, I think you need to be very careful about. I know people who have very strong political and loyalist views. I know people who are ex-prisoners. I know people who are very committed and principled loyalists. But, you know, so do you. So do you. You know them as well. You've met them. You've discussed in studios with them a whole range of topics.
I just wonder how these senior figures, you know, what pressure they're coming under from people like you when we read that the senior figures are involved in drug dealing, extortion and smuggling. Within your own community, by the way, these activities have a significant impact on the local community. So these senior figures within the UVF, within your friends in the UVF, who are, you know, peddling out drugs so that people, you know, get hooked on drugs and it devastates lives and it kills people. Just wonder how much pressure behind the scenes you're putting on those people.
Well, I think the Loyalist Community Council initiative is a very clear demonstration of loyalism taking responsibility and ownership for its part in addressing some of the key issues that affect loyalism, the loyalist community, and the wider peace and political process. You know, they have been absolutely clear in their intentions. They have set out a programme of work. They have said that part of their priority is educational underachievement. They have said that reconnecting to the civic and political processes is a key part of their programme of work. And they have said that addressing the fractured and fragmented relationships within loyalism are key strands of a piece of work that they have committed to.
And while they're saying that, they're peddling drugs. And while, they're saying that, they're extorting money out of their own businesses on their own roads.
Well,
and while they're saying that, they're pulling people up dark entries and shooting them.
I mean, we can...
beating them up.
We can hammer this and keep repeating over, you know, and go around in circles. The bottom line is people have made a very clear statement of renunciation of violence and criminality in all its forms, and have made clear that anyone involved in that type of crime or activity should be dealt with by the police.
Which kind of brings me to my next point. So we heard a lot about this Loyalist Community Council last week, this high-profile new Loyalist initiative to stop crime that you've just mentioned, okay? But this security assessment, Winston, says that the Loyalist paramilitary leadership has, quote, limited control over the activities of its membership. So in other words, despite the message last week, you can't control them. Well, you've limited control over them.
So
the Loyalist Community Council is redundant. It can't actually affect what it's saying it wants to.
You know, let's keep our feet on the ground here. You know,
limited control of the activities of its membership.
I think it's more than a stretch of an exaggeration to say that the Loyalist Community Council is redundant. You know,
well, if it has limited control over the activities of people, then what's the point of it?
If we use that logic, because the report actually says that all of the groups, quote, all of the groups have limited control, then is Sinn Féin redundant? Is Republican ex-prisoner groups redundant? Are Loyalist ex-prisoner groups redundant? Should we just tell them all to go home? That, you know, there's no point in their existence? Well, no, we can't do that. Because in the end, people can only do their best. What you, I think, can do, Stephen, and your colleagues in the media, is actually get behind those who are trying their best to create a more peaceful, more prosperous, and a more stable future, rather than simply looking out and seeking out the negatives and looking to see how you can continue to almost create loyalism as some sort of social outcast, someone who are to be rejected from society, to be looked down upon, or to be in some way excluded and ignored.
It's just pathetic, you know, that you would suggest I'm doing that, when actually what I'm doing as a journalist
is reading from an assessment
that was not written by me, Winston. I'm reading from a report that says a larger number of members, including senior figures, are involved in organised crime.
Yeah,
so, of course, I'm going to ask questions about that.
Yeah,
and by the way, many loyalists would want me to ask questions about that.
Those questions are fair and legitimate. All that I'm saying is that there is a bigger story. There is a bigger picture that people like yourself don't necessarily want to explore. So, for example, loyalists are up to their necks in conflict transformation. They're up to their necks in education. I know lots of loyalists who have degrees and masters and PhDs. They're up to their necks in delivering education programs and regeneration initiatives and cross-community dialogue. There are loyalists who are managing the peace on the streets, on Belfast, particularly around the summer. Why are we not having that conversation? Why are we not obsessing about the good work that goes on within loyalism? Why are we not obsessing about the positive contribution that loyalists can make in the future?
Well, because...
Why are we always looking
Let me answer that.
Why are we always looking for the fault?
Well, let me answer that. You said, why are we always looking back? The whole point is, Winston, we ain't looking back. We're not. That's the whole point of what I'm trying to ask you about today. We're talking about current criminality in the context of loyalism, which is saying that it wants to change.
Yes.
that criminality should end, that very influential figures like you within your own community are saying crime is wrong.
Can I just say this to you?
Hand on heart, I can tell you that the most asked question of me in the last week, can I tell you what it's been? Here's what it's been. There was a man on this programme about 7 days ago who said that loyalist gangsters call into him every Friday and collect protection money from him, and it continues to happen. And the most asked question of me over the last week, people coming up to me in the street, everywhere I go, did they come back last Friday? Because people want to know if the actions of the loyalist gangsters are in parallel with things like you're saying, that the criminality's got to stop. I promise you that's what's happening.
And that's a fair and legitimate question. Absolutely fair and legitimate question. I'm not in any way, you know, trying to say that those questions shouldn't be asked. All I'm saying is, let's not frame the discussion on such a narrow term, because all of this has a wider context. You simply cannot just frame loyalism around this notion of criminality. That's my point, and I think you would accept that point, Stephen, because there is a greater number of people who are working for the common good, who are out there slogging it out on a day and daily basis, giving up voluntary time to ensure that they play their small part in trying to make a better society for Northern Ireland.
And to be fair to you, you don't need me to accept it, because the report states it is our firm assessment that the leadership of the UVF is committed to transforming the purpose of the group from violent crime to community-focused initiatives, but have only limited control over the activities of its membership. In some cases, UVF members are heavily involved in violence and crime. So the report does say that it's the firm assessment that the leadership of the UVF is committed to transforming the purpose of the group from violent crime.
But there is a
contradiction within this report, because just the paragraph before that, where they say the leadership's committed to basically the peaceful means, right? They say some figures within the UVF are extensively involved in organised crime.
Stephen,
and that's the confusion.
Look, this report needs to be seen in a wider context. The report was never going to solve this issue. The report started off as a political sap to unionism. I mean, let's be absolutely upfront and honest about that. This was about a sap to the Unionist Party, particularly the DUP, to get them off a hook. So this was always going to have some sort of political expediency to it. And we saw that being played out. Theresa Villiers hadn't got sitting down after her speech in the Commons, and the DUP had jumped back in the government, put their ministers back into the executive before even knowing the whole content of this report. In fact, it was worse than that. They said the day before that they would accept the entirety of the report. Now, that report could have said anything about the DUP. You know, it could have said that former paramilitaries or former ex-prisoners from loyalist groups have now snuggled up to the DUP, and they would have accepted that. In fact, I would have accepted it as well, by the way. But that aside, the point is, this report has not got the capability of actually addressing these problems. It's part of a wider context. It was never going to answer the questions. It was never going to address the issue. All it was ever going to do was to describe the problem. And that's what we're very good in Northern Ireland. Describing the problem and not coming up with workable solutions.
Couple more questions. As a unionist party, how does the PUP think unionism should respond to what this report says about the IRA and its Army Council still being in existence?
Look, you know, we only have to go back till the Haas initiative, where we heard at the time that flags and parades in the past were the big issues. And then it shifted on, and it was, oh no, flags and parades in the past aren't the big issues, it's welfare and the budget. And then we moved from welfare and the budget to, well, actually, the big issue now is paramilitaries. We need to sort out the issue of paramilitarism. These people are making this up as they go along. They have made no progress whatsoever around flags, around parades, around the past, around paramilitarism, around the budget, around welfare reform. There is a collective failure. And do you want to know why I think there's a collective failure? Because there is a fault